so happy you're here listening right now. This is Eternity Church's weekly podcast. You will find our messages encouraging, inspirational, and relative to your life, no matter what stage of the journey you find yourself in. Here's Pastor Jesse.
And I am excited to preach today, absolutely excited to preach today. Welcome everybody to church, and I mean welcome to all of y'all. No matter how rich you are, no matter how poor you are, no matter how mediocre, come on, you are. Welcome to church, amen. No matter who you're going to vote for next year, welcome to church. Whether you work, no matter where you work, whether you work at the Des Moines Register, Bush Light, or as Santa Claus every December, welcome to church, come on. You're welcome here, you're loved here, we're glad that you're here. Hope you come back next week. By the way, my name is Jesse. I'm the lead pastor here. You're welcome. I'm glad that you're here. Yeah, you may take your seats. After the service, please go out the double black doors down the back there. We've got welcome bags for you here in Clive and in Adele for everybody joining us in Adele. Hello, we love you. God bless you. And also everybody online, if you would like a welcome bag, a welcome to eternity bag, just email us at info@myeternitydm.com and we'll get that to you ASAP. You can also message us online. But I tell you what, I am glad that you're all here and we just love to be generous. It's one of our core values here at Eternity Church to be the most generous, to be the most generous church that you or your family or your friends have ever heard of. And there's someone taking a photo right now, just... Is that better? Cool. And she gets really mad when I point her out in the middle of her photo-taking endeavors. But no, I don't even know what I was talking about now. And that's on me, isn't it, right? Yeah, I got distracted. Anyway, so welcome to church. I really am glad that you're here today. I just want to honor Tyler. Thank you, Tyler, for taking over Kingdom Expansion and looking after all that lately. If you want to know anything about Kingdom Expansion, that's sort of like our over and above our tithes and offerings. So fully committed members and attenders of our church to just jump in and go over the top and say we want to make sure that that we can do all that God has called us to do here, there, and everywhere. Amen. So thank you for heading that up for us now, Tyler. You're an absolute champion. But hey, I am excited to preach though. I tell you what, I'm fired up to preach today. I get to preach on my favorite topic. One of my favorite topics. It's probably top three for real. I want to talk to you about one of our church's core values, a core reason for our existence, actually, something that we're obsessed with. And I talk about it a couple of times every single year. We probably mention it in every second sermon to a degree because that's what happens with core values, right? They are in everything that you do. But I also believe in the importance of two or three times a year just taking a whole sermon to talk about something that's important to me and important to you so that we don't forget, because you have the culture that you want, not the culture that you have the culture that you want and the culture that you work for, you right? And so we're just gonna just hit that again today. And let me just tell you a little bit of a story about me. I've always had this need in my heart to love, protect, shield, have compassion on people who are under fire. I don't know why. I've just always had this passion for people who are under fire. And I don't know why God gave me that passion. I think everybody has it to a degree. But for me, it feels overwhelming, you know. Like when somebody's under fire, I am overwhelmed. And I feel like I'm under fire, even though I have nothing to do with them or what happened. And I don't know if it's because I grew up in that family, you know. Anyone else grew up in that family? Give me a wave. Yeah. Like I have an amazing extended family. They really are. Everybody's amazing. But our family was that family in amongst the extended family, right? And if you don't know which family it is in your family, it's yours, right? Like that's a scientifically proven fact that if you don't know which family it is, it's your family, okay? And if you don't know who it is in your brothers and sisters, it's you, right? And but we love you and we're glad that you're here. I'm the lead pastor and I'm that guy too, so it's all good. But in my extended family, every single family, like, you know, the uncles and aunts, right, all stemming from the Newman grandfather. Everyone was in church bar one family. Everyone had good jobs. Everybody had a lot of money. Everybody owned a bunch of investment houses. I think at one point it felt like my extended family owned half of the city. And all of the uncles and aunts, they were all still married to each other. And all of their kids loved the Lord. All of their kids served the Lord. All of their kids married people who love the Lord and serve the Lord. And then there was my family. And we weren't like that at all. My dad and mom were married at 15 and 18 because mom was pregnant with my oldest sister. And then they had four kids real quick. Boom, 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 boom. Right? Just got them all done real early. And they had a rocky marriage, right? I don't have very many memories at all from before I'm seven, but most of it involves something negative happening in the family. So it was a rocky family. My dad drank like grog was going out of fashion and he had to get it all before it all ran away. And my mom and dad got divorced when I was seven-ish, and it was not a good time. In fact, I remember being out the front of the courthouse with my grandpa as my parents were fighting each other inside. I thank God for my grandpa. He's the one who led us all to the Lord, and so we thank God for that. And if you've ever even liked one sermon that you've ever heard at this church, you've got to be grateful for my grandfather who prayed at 5 a.m. every morning for all of the grandkids every morning since the day he got saved to the day he went to be with Jesus. Amen. And so I thank God for that. We all went to church occasionally in our family. I went every single week, no matter what. My dad didn't always go. He was a hard worker. He earned good money. And we had great stuff. And that's something that's interesting. You know what? You don't know what's going on in people's lives just because they have nice cars and a 7,000 square foot house, right? Like, that's what we had. But inside, it was a mess. It was an absolute mess. And I always felt like we were the screw-ups in town. I always felt like we were the screw-ups in our family. But I thank God that he never made me feel that way, ever. God never made me feel that way. And I thank God for Pastor Ron and Pastor Susan and the whole church in Tatura, a great church. They never judged us. They always looked after us. And whenever I manufactured judgment in my own mind, they showed me that I am loved, that I am welcome, that I am accepted, and that I am called by God. Amen. And even though I was hypo, right, I don't know if you've ever met Charlie, my third born son, and that kid is psycho freaking Billy Ninja, right? Like, that kid is psycho, and that's only half as psycho as I was as a little kid. And so, baby, it's my fault, but I think you already knew that. And but in spite of being that hypo, they loved me. I'm telling you, they loved me. And I was a liar, because when you grow up in that family, you manufacture stories that are better than what the real story is. Anybody else been there, right? And so I was a liar. I'd lie about everything. Do you know what? They never even corrected me, and I know that they knew that it was garbage. But they loved me. They accepted me. I'd say the dumbest things, the most foolish things, and they'd still let me be the overhead projector operator. Anyone else grow up in church, yeah? Anyone else get to be an overhead projector operator, right? Like, that felt like power. Like, I could mess up this whole church service. Just say the word, God. I'll set them straight, right? And I can put whatever I want on that overhead projection screen, yeah? I'll never forget the day I came home from graduating from college. And Pastor Susan, she took me aside and told me how proud she was of me. And how the time is coming that all the things that God promised me are going to come into my life. Not just that it's coming, but that it's on its way and that it's coming soon. You know, like when you're going to somebody's house, you're on their way, right? And, you know, so that you're on your way to their house, but if you're going to go there in a couple of hours, you haven't left yet. Well, she reminded me that it's on its way. It's not like one day going to leave. It's on its way to me. That the ministry that God had promised me. That the family, the wife, the children, the blessing that God had promised me, that it's on its way. And then she stopped, and at the end of the conversation, she took a weird turn, and she goes, "Now go find yourself a wife." We grew up in a country church where the lead pastors are very interested in you finding a wife. And so anyway, but she said, not just any wife. She said, don't you settle. Stop thinking that you're not good enough. You need to marry a woman that understands how lucky she is to have you. Now, that sounds harsh to Lauren, I know. Because I know a comedian once said that that in every marriage, there's always someone who says something like, man, I married way out of my league. And what that really means is your spouse settled, right? And she told me, don't settle. Now, that might seem weird, but I tell you what, there are hundreds of young men and women out here who settle, who place so little value on themselves that they will date, that they will marry the first person that shows a slightest amount of interest in their lives. So she reminded me, you don't have to just go marry the first girl that's going to show interest in you. You can actually wait to fall in love, make sure it's the right one, make sure they're compatible, make sure they're going to be compatible with your ministry, amen? And I reckon I was on my way to do what she warned me against. And so, Lauren, baby, do you know how lucky you are? I'm kidding. We're both blessed to have each other. Anyone who knows Lauren, you're all like, dude, she's the one who settled, bro. You know that, right? Like, you did not take Pastor Susan's advice, right? But come on. I am so grateful for Christians that showed me my value. The church had to be the hands and the feet of Jesus. They also had to be the open arms of Jesus. Amen. And that's why I'm so passionate about grace, so passionate about breaking shame off people's lives. God is actually actively looking for opportunities to cover people's shame. He even covers the shame of the ones who brought it on themselves. And he's called us to do the same, amen? Even if they don't recognize the error of their ways, even if they throw grace back in our face, even if they won't receive it, we are the hands and the feet of God, and we need to get busy looking for shame so we can cover it up in Jesus' name. Amen. Because the goodness of God displayed in His church will lead people to repentance, and it will usher them into the blessed life that God has planned for them. Amen. It will usher them in there because we displayed the wonder, the glory, and the goodness of Almighty God. But natural desire can often look for reasons to shame people, can't it? If only I had a recent example of people's natural desire to find someone's shame. Would you believe me? What's this? Oh, it's a newspaper. I don't know why that's here. Anyway, oh, some Bush Light. I don't know what that could be all about. I just wanted some recent examples of people looking for opportunities to shame people. I didn't know some dude was going to throw a Bush Light at me. What we saw this week was the world looking for opportunities to unleash their natural desire to shame people. That's what we saw this week. If you're new here and you're not even from Iowa, just Google it. I'm not super into bringing Bush Light to church on a normal weekend. But what I saw this week was heartbreaking. A young man who raised millions of dollars for 6 kids, shamed. A young reporter who made some pretty bad tweets and mistakes, shamed. An editor who made a bad decision that the public very clearly disagreed with, shamed. A beer company, shamed. A newspaper, shamed. And thousands of people writing words like, I hope you're ashamed, not God. I hope you're ashamed. Shame on you. I hope you die. Go and kill yourself. I hope your business goes out of business and everybody loses their jobs. Shame, shame, shame. Everywhere it was heartbreaking. But right here in this church, Carson King, Aaron Kelvin, Carol Hunter, any employee of the Des Moines Register and the CEO of Bush Light are all welcome to experience and discover the goodness of God at Eternity Church. Amen. Come on. Because there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And there should therefore now be no condemnation coming from those who are in Christ Jesus. Come on, praise the Lord in this place if you receive that. So, in honor of the events of this past week, the title of my message today is When I Was 16. Sorry. Blame the Holy Ghost. You know why? You know why I'm talking about this today? Hands up if you talked yesterday. You need the grace of God then. Hands up if you plan to talk tomorrow. No, you need the grace of God too, my friend. Hands up if you're planning to be alive tomorrow. Y'all are going to need the grace of God. By the way, who didn't put their hand up for planning to be alive tomorrow? Like, wow. God bless you right now in Jesus' name. Come on, y'all are going to need grace every day of your life. Amen. So really, maybe I should have titled my message when I was 20, when I was 30, when I was 75, or just when I was alive. Amen. Because we still need God's grace. Amen. Touch a neighbor, say, you need his grace. So this week, as Iowa was on the hunt for a new state beer, I couldn't help but wonder what my Jesus would have been doing if he lived here. Now, don't get me wrong. I've stopped buying a product because I felt like the company was not a good company, or that they didn't represent my values. You know, don't shop there, whatever. And similarly, there's nothing at all good about the tweets that these boys sent out in their lives, by the way. Nothing good about them. Oh, it's a joke. I don't even care. Don't do that. That's disgusting. Racism's never even funny, right? Like, no matter whether you were 5, 10, 30, or 100, right? Like, it's just never funny. But what would Jesus have done for the most shamed people in Iowa this week? What would he have done? There's a story about a man named Zacchaeus, a tax collector. Dude, people hated tax collectors. See, what they would do is they would come and take your tax to represent the empire or whatever else, and they'd come and get your tax, but they'd always add to it. They'd be like, you know what? Boss man wants 10%, but I want 30 more. Like, it wasn't like boss man wants 10% and I want another one. No, they were excessive. And they would rob, they would steal from people. And you had to give it to them or they'd get you locked up in jail. This guy, Zacchaeus, he was the chief tax collector. Like, he was the boss of all the scoundrels. So everybody hated him. He's cheating everybody, cheated his way everywhere. He even found a way to cheat people to get everything that he wants. He heard that Jesus is coming to town, so he climbs up a tree to get over the top of everybody else. He always knows how to cheat his way into a position. Well, everybody's blocking the road, so I'm going to get up a tree. You know what I imagine happened? Some little kid up the tree, and he's like, I want to be up that tree. Get down, or I'll charge your parents 10% more tax. Kid's like, don't do that. That'll be on me. No. All right. Zacchaeus gets up the tree. Everybody hates him. Everybody's yelling out, shame on you, you little punk. He was a little guy, scripture says. Shame on you, you tiny little man. Boo, boo, get down from that tree. Why are you even here? Nobody likes you. Why would Jesus like you? Everybody hates you. Haven't you got the message yet? We don't like you. Does that sound familiar? But Jesus sees him, and scripture says, when Jesus reached the spot that Zacchaeus was, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. It wasn't even, I want to stay at your house. It's, I must. The Spirit of God in me is stirring me so much that I must come stay at your house today. Jesus sees the most hated man in the crowd and calls him out by name. I know your name, Zacchaeus. I see you, Zacchaeus. I'm not ashamed of you. I'm not ashamed to be seen with you. In fact, I'm coming over to your house for dinner tonight. This week, I believe Jesus is saying, Carson, I know your name. Aaron, I know your name. Carol, I know your name. And I'm coming to your house for dinner tonight. Let's get some coffee somewhere public Because I want everybody to see me taking a selfie with you. Because I'm not ashamed to be seen with you. And you know what? He does the same for you, my friend. And so we would too. Every one of us. We're not ashamed to be seen with you. If you end up in the news or hated on by all the keyboard warriors out there someday, I'd be happy to take a selfie with you. And I mean it. I'd be happy. You know what? There's like 5 or 6 people that hate me already. Might as well make it 10, right? Like, I am happy to take a selfie with you and say, hey, I love this lady. I love this man. I love this family. Come on. From the very beginning, God has been about covering our shame. From the beginning. Now, don't mishear what I'm saying. God has never been about excusing our bad behavior. Terrible, horrible things that we've done and said to each other. God has never been about excusing bad behavior, but he has been about covering our shame. When Adam and Eve first felt shame, it's the first time in Scripture that shame is recorded. And the first thing that God does was cover it. Adam, Eve, where are y'all? Well, we figured out we're naked, and so we hid because we were ashamed. So God responds and makes garments to cover their shame. To cover their shame. The very first thing God does in response to the very first shameful act or the very first shameful feeling is cover it. Christians are not called to expose shame. They're called to cover shame. Amen. So whether you are the shamed or the shame's shamer or the shamed shamer's shamer or the shamed shamer's shamer shamer, God's in the business of covering your shame. And so are we. Amen. Bush Light might care what you did when you were 16, but I don't care what you did on your way to church. Come on. Come on. I'll do what I can to get that shame removed from you. I'll do what I can to turn it off for you. And I want to encourage you as followers of Jesus Christ, as believers, as Christians, as God's ambassadors to this city, as the people that God has chosen to save Central Iowa through, to save Des Moines, to save Adel, to save wherever you live online, as God's ambassadors to your city, as representatives of Eternity Church, to fight shame with grace. To fight shame with grace. Let's not find someone who's being shamed and then redirect the shame onto somebody else. Let's not redirect the fire hydrant of shame. Let's be the ones who turn it off. Come on, someone say, turn it off. When Jesus sees someone being shamed, he doesn't redirect the shame onto somebody else. He turns it off. And in fact, if any shame is left, he carries it for them. Zacchaeus, I see you. I'm having dinner at your house tonight, bro. Then everybody started shaming Jesus. Did you hear who Jesus hangs out with? He hangs out with tax collectors and sinners and hookers. Did you hear who Jesus hangs out with? Oh, he didn't just redirect it onto somebody else and say, hey, stop shaming Zacchaeus, start shaming Lauren. No, he didn't do that. He took it on himself. When Adam and Eve sinned and were overcome by shame, he covered their shame and in doing so set in motion the very events that would eventually lead to his public shaming on a cross, dying for their sins, for your sins and for mine. Real talk for a second. Honest talk for a second. It's always been honest. The rest was true too. Real talk. People talk about cheapening grace. You've heard that term before? I want to tell you, grace is not cheapened by being too generous with it. People talk about being too liberal with your grace. Grace is not cheapened by being too generous with it. Grace is cheapened when we have the audacity to decide who should and shouldn't receive it. That's when grace is cheapened, when you say it's good enough for me and it's good enough for Ian, but it ain't good enough for Shanna. That's when grace is cheapened. I'm going to tell you right now, it's either good enough for all of us or it's not good enough for any of us. This, the church, the body and the family of Jesus Christ, this is where the floodgates of grace should be coming from. This place is the epicenter of grace that's changing lives in the Midwest. Hallelujah. I want to talk to you about what grace God is offering you. Not just how we should respond. And I hope we all learned something today. I hope some of us aren't feeling ashamed, but are feeling like, you know what, I'm going to go delete some tweets and some stuff. Just click on your little profile picture on Facebook, a little bit down to the right. There's a little circle with three lines and dots next to it. Click on that. It's called activity log. And you go through that, and where it says, I hope you die, you click on that, and then you click delete. Hello. Come on. I don't want you to feel ashamed, but I want you to get about covering any shame. Amen. But I want to talk to you about your life, you. We all mess up. We all make mistakes. We all say the wrong things. I have to apologize at least once a day. Maybe an hour. Come on, we all make mistakes. We all need grace. And you might be the person here and you're like, yeah, wow. I mess up so bad, I'll probably still be messing up in heaven. Probably not. You probably won't be. And not because you didn't make it there. You'll get there. Come on. There's people in the room who are like, you know what? I believe that. But I've done something that everybody naturally seems to raise to another level of wrong than other mistakes. But you got to understand, God doesn't do that. That's not what God does. Have you heard the story of King David? Called by God, screwed up. After he's called by God. You always hear about different preachers or leaders or people around the country that fail, that fall. And people say, well, it'd be one thing if that happened before he was a preacher, but this was after he was a preacher. And I'm like, wait a minute, let me just knock you out for a second. David. Come on. King David was called by God. Then he messed up. He lied. He cheated. He stole. He slept with another man's wife. Murder. 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 He murdered a dude. And God's like, see that dude? That's a man after my own heart. And y'all are like, wait, what? Wait, what? What on earth? Like, come on. God knew what you would do before he called you. God knew what you would do before he loved you and chose to love you anyway. He knew. He knew. Can you even imagine marrying someone? Can you imagine marrying someone knowing for sure, 100% certain, they are going to cheat on me? He knew before he chose you. Your sin didn't catch Jesus off guard and he's like, oh, whoa. Now that's heavy. Gabriel, we might have to kill you too to cover this one. Like, that didn't happen. The archangel Michael be like, God, I told you what Tyler was gonna do. I told you wouldn't listen. I warned you. I've been saying it. I've been saying it for 10 years. Ain't I been saying it, Miguel? Independence Day, sorry. That's not how it's happening. That's not how it's happening in heaven. No, God knew you before he formed you in your mother's womb. And knowing your worst moments, your best moments, all your moments, he chose you. He ordained you. He ordained good works for you. Scripture says that he prepared good things for you and he prepared good things for you to do in advance, knowing your past, knowing your present, and knowing your future. He chose you. He's not surprised by you. What about Paul? Paul. The murderer of Christians. I feel like God used these people so that we're like, you know what, I might. I haven't done that, you know. A murderer of Christians. Enforcer of anti-Christian laws. Saved by grace. preaching Jesus. The story goes like this. Saul of Tarsus, that was his name. Saul of Tarsus was on his way to destroy some churches, and Jesus speaks to him on the road. He gets radically saved. Then God appears to Ananias in a vision and says, go help Saul. Ananias went from the house, this is Acts 9. Ananias went to the house and entered it, placing his hands on Saul. He said, brother, someone say brother. The Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming, has sent me to you so that you may see and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Yeah, Ananias had a moment where he's like, ah, you sure about this, God? Like, dude, psycho, like psycho Billy ninja. Like, dude's messed up. Have you seen what he did to my brother Timothy? Come on, have you seen? And God just graciously redirects him. And after a moment with God, Ananias goes to Paul and says, brother, the Lord has sent me to you so that you may see and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Saul, Paul ain't gonna see until someone treats him like a brother. Until someone's willing to put their arms around and say, brother. He ain't gonna see until someone lets him experience the Holy Spirit. And if you're in this place and you've done messed up, done whatever else, I don't even know. You're not gonna escape the torment of your past, and you won't ever step into the future that God has prepared for you until you experience, till you have an experience with the Holy Spirit. And so I want to say to you, brother, sister, open your eyes and see what God wants you to see. See who God says that you are in spite of and knowing what you did, what you've done, what you're doing, what you will do. In a moment, I'm going to open up the front. I want you to come down the front for prayer to have an encounter with the Holy Spirit. So you can finally step out of the shame of your past and step into the plans of your future. Amen. Shame's got a way of keeping you stuck. Would you all stand up with me? Getting ready to close the service. If you're here and you don't know Jesus, I reckon today I've done a all right job at telling you that He loves you, no matter what. No matter where you work, no matter where you've been, and no matter what you've done. Hands up if it's been your experience that God is good to you. Give me a wave if that's been your experience. If you don't know Jesus, just look at that testimony. Hundreds of people just saying, God has been good to me. It's my hope that today you'd give your life to Jesus Christ. That you'd step out of your past and step into the God-blessed life that He planned for your future. There's shame, there's hurt, there's pain in your life. I know. And God knows. But right now, we're giving you an opportunity to invite Jesus Christ into your life and push all that garbage out of your life. Scripture says, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. So here at Eternity Church, we're not into adding more rules to that. We're not adding more rules than that. So what we want you to do is pray a prayer with me. And that's it. I'm not asking you to change some other thing in your life. I'm not asking you to walk like me, talk like me, act like me. I'm not even asking you to stop sinning, to be honest. Whatever. Like, that's between you and God. And if there's something in your life that's destructive, if there's something in your life that's hurtful to other people, destructive to you or offensive to God, oh, believe me, God's going to speak to you about that when your heart's ready, when your heart's ready to receive it. And then He's going to give you the power to overcome it. It's not my job to try and change something when your heart's not ready. But I'm just going to keep praying that God will help you become all that God designed you to be. So right now, I want you to pray a prayer with me like Scripture shared. Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth. Give your life to Jesus. Step out of shame and step into promise. Amen. So everybody in the room is going to pray this prayer. And then we're going to do an altar call at the end of the service. And I'm going to ask you guys out at West Campus to stay with me until after the altar call at the very end this week. I want to read a scripture to everybody in Clive and everybody in Adel. So stay with us. But right now, if you want to give your life to Jesus Christ here, online, in Adel, wherever you are, repeat this prayer after me. You won't be alone. Every single person, wherever you are, is going to pray it with us, so you won't be alone. So everybody, with a loud voice, repeat after me, dear God, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died on a cross for my sins, and He rose again to give me life, hope, joy, peace, and eternal life. I receive it all, and I receive your forgiveness, and I receive this new life the way you designed it. Sorry, I receive this new life with you as my Lord and my Savior. Help me to live it how you designed it, just for me. In the name of Jesus, amen, amen, amen. Now, there's three things we want you to do here, Western Online. If you prayed that prayer, there's three things we want you to do. Number one, tell somebody what you did. Check in at Eternity Church. Check in at Eternity West. Check in and tell people, hey, I gave my life to Jesus Christ today. Watch me live a blessed life now. And throw that on Facebook or Instagram. Give people an opportunity to celebrate instead of shame. The other thing I want you to do is I want you to tell us what you did today. Text the word SAVED to the number 25827. If you do that, you'll receive this week in the mail a Bible, a CD, and a gift card to a local coffee shop. The third thing I want you to do is I want you to tell me. So if everybody could close their eyes, tell me here at Central, telling Pastor Sean out west, everybody close their eyes everywhere you are. It's only me and Pastor Sean looking around, nobody else. If you prayed that prayer, when I count to three, I want you to lift up your hand so that I can pray for you. I just want to know who I'm praying for. We're not going to point you out. We're going to stay on the stage. You'll stay where you are. We're just going to pray that God will bless you. So while nobody's looking around, on the count of three, I want you to lift up your hand. One, two, three. Lift up your hands all over this place. One, two, three, four, five. Anybody else? Six. Anybody else? Just lift up your hand. Show me who you are. Anybody else? Fantastic. That's six at seven at Central Campus. Eight at Central Campus. Plus anybody at West Campus and online. God bless you. Hey, let's all pray for everybody here at West. Pray for everybody online that lifted up their hands. Heavenly Father, we pray for the eight people here, the people at West, the people online. God, everybody who gave their life to you today, prayed this prayer and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. God, I pray that you would break the shame of their past mistakes off their lives right now. God, flood their hearts, flood their minds with hope, with peace that makes no sense in the situations they find themselves in. Flood their minds with everlasting joy. May the joy of the Lord be their strength in Jesus' name. God, as they walk out of wherever they're standing today, I pray it would feel like a weight has dropped off their shoulders. Shame is gone. Hurt is gone. Bitterness is gone. And they're stepping into the life that you designed for them. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Amen. God bless you. One more thing we want to do as we get ready to close is open up the front for prayer. Listen to Isaiah 54. Enlarge the place of your tent and stretch out your tent curtains wide and do not hold back. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. I feel like that's a word for our church. Stretch it out. Be willing to let everybody in. But to you, because you're going to spread out to the right, to the left, your descendants will dispose nations, settle in desolate cities. Do not be afraid. You will not be put to shame. Come down the front for prayer. Don't be afraid. You will not be put to shame. Do not fear disgrace, for you will not be humiliated, and you will forget the shame of your youth. You will forget the shame of your youth. It will be gone. You will forget about it. You will not have to live in it anymore. The day is coming, and the day is today, amen, that you will forget the shame of your youth. Heavenly Father, I pray for every person in this room who's experiencing shame, that your Holy Spirit would soften their hearts, begin to crack it open. Crack that concrete off their hearts in Jesus' name. Speak to them. Draw them to the altar. Draw them into a more meaningful and passionate relationship with you. God, I pray right now that people who are battling shame, that you would begin to speak to their hearts. And God, I pray that shame wouldn't hold them back from dealing with their shame. We just release people to be able to respond right now in Jesus' name. Come down the front for prayer. Have an experience with the Holy Spirit to step out of the shame of the past and step in to the promise of a future. Do not be afraid. You will not be shamed. The day is coming, and the day is today, that you will forget the shame of your past. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a shout of praise if you receive that word today. Come down the front right now and break shame off your life. Come on.
Thanks for joining us. If you enjoyed this, share it with your friends or neighbors. This coming weekend or next, we'd love to see you at church. You'll find locations and service times at myeternity.com/locations. We're also on Facebook and Instagram at My Eternity Church. Have an awesome day. Love you heaps.